Good morning and welcome to our Sunday morning service here at Heritage Baptist Church. We're so glad that you have joined with us today. And of course, it is always our desire that the message this morning, as we look together into the Word of God, that it might be a blessing, it might be a help and encouragement in each heart and in each life. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, the gospel's burden and blessing. The gospel's burden and blessing. Suppose someone came to you and they said to you, I have good news and I have bad news. Which would you like to hear first? Well, I don't know how you would vote in that matter. I don't know whether you would want the good news first, the bad news first. However, in an online article by Kathy Newman in the National Geographic in November of 2013, it was said that Angela Legge and Kate Sweeney, two students of psychology at the University of California in Riverside, they wanted to actually give a scientific answer to the question, which would you choose first? And the result of their study showed that the answer to the question actually depends on whether you are the giver of the news or the receiver of the news. And so they divided it in that way. First of all, they talked about the news giver. And their study showed that between 65 and 70% said they would rather give the good news first and then the bad news. The idea that they had was that by giving the good news first, it would soften the pain. It would soften the disappointment, the shock of the bad news that was about to follow. In other words, it would be like going to the doctor and the doctor would say to you, now, it is completely curable, but you have cancer. You see what I mean? But then on the other hand, there was the news receivers. And according to the study of those young ladies, it showed that more than 75% said they would rather hear the bad news first and then the good news. And their reasoning was that if they heard the good news first, the good news would naturally become tainted. It would be diminished by the bad news that was to follow. In other words, the goodness of the good news would be lost. But to hear the bad news first, and then to hear the good news that followed the bad news, would make the good news to be even better news. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it would be like the doctor who said, you have cancer, but it is completely curable. Now, the reason why I mentioned that this morning is simply because this is the very sort of thing we're going to see as we deal with the burden and the blessing of the gospel. When it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, we must begin with the bad news. We begin with the bad news and then move to the good news. You remember a couple of weeks ago, we began a series of messages entitled Living the Gospel. And we saw, first of all, the foundation of it. The Apostle Paul declared the foundation of the gospel. It is simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of the message of the gospel. But we also saw then the benefits of it, the benefits of it. And we saw that there were three things. First of all, there's a transformation. When men receive the message of the gospel, they have a new family. They have a new relationship. They have a new purpose in life. And then there's also a signification. We saw how that when a person responds to the message of the gospel and they receive that message, they are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then there is also the consolation. Those who have received that message of the gospel have the wonderful assurance that they shall dwell with their Savior forever in that wonderful place called heaven that He is now preparing for us. But now I want us to notice together that with the message of the gospel, there is both a burden and there is a blessing. There is a burden and there is a blessing. So let's begin by noticing number one, the burden of the gospel. Even though the word gospel actually means good news, there is a burden that is attached to it. In other words, there is something in the message of the gospel that is difficult. There's something in the message of the gospel that is unpleasant. There's something in the message of the gospel that weighs heavy on the heart of a man. Because within the message of the gospel, there is a burden. There is a burden, first of all, to the hearers. There's a burden to the hearers. You say the message of the gospel is a burden to those who hear it because of what it reveals. It's a burden because of the fact that the message of the gospel says some things to us, and it says things about us that, frankly, are not nice to hear. They're difficult to swallow. In other words, there is a burden to the hearer because of what it says concerning us. Let me give you a couple of points here. First of all, it describes our condition. It is a burden because of the condition that the gospel declares each one of us are in. You remember in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the prophet said, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And because of the wickedness that is naturally found in every person, the Lord Jesus then declared what is inside our hearts. He identified very clearly, and it's not a pleasant list to read. Notice it in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to verse 23. The Lord Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of men," and now here comes the list. There's evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, from the heart of man. They come from within and defile the man. The bottom line is simply this. Regardless of how religious we may think we are, regardless of how sincere we may think that we are, regardless of how devout we may think that we are, the truth of the matter is, all of us, every one of us, have a heart that is filled with all kinds of wickedness and pollutants that are simply waiting to be carried out. They're only waiting for the opportunity to be acted upon. The gospel, it is a burden because it describes our condition. Not only that, number two, it describes our failure. It describes our failure. The psalmist said it this way. In Psalm 53, verse 2 and verse number 3, that God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek after God. And then here we find the conclusion, verse 3. Every one of them is gone back. In other words, every one of them has turned away from God's way, and they've begun to walk after their own desires, after their own lust, and they've turned back from God's way. They're following after their own way, and therefore, notice what it says, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so the wise man in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse number 20, he sums it up when he says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." And to that, the Apostle Paul gives absolute agreement when he says in Romans 6:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What does that mean? That simply means none of us measure up. None of us can measure up to God's standard of holiness. None of us can measure up to God's standard of perfection, because all of us, we have a wicked condition that has led to a miserable failure. And therefore, number three, It describes our helplessness. The gospel describes our helplessness. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, the prophet said that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The bottom line is simply this. There's nothing we can do to please God. There's nothing we can do to impress God. There's nothing we can do to earn or to merit our salvation. Bottom line, we can never save ourselves. We can never save ourselves. We are helpless in saving when it comes to saving ourselves. And that's why the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:16 said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Because no matter how hard we work to satisfy the law, we always fail. And therefore, Paul said, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It also describes, number four, it describes our destiny. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The wages, in other words, the just reward, the payment due. The payment due for our sin, it is death. And there are two things that are included here. First of all, there is a physical death. Physical death does not mean that we cease to exist, but rather physical death simply means that our soul and our spirit separates from this physical body. We are separated now from the physical world that is around us, but that's not the end of it, because you see, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, there is a judgment. There is a judgment. And so from the physical death, we then move to the spiritual death. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, and then again in chapter 18, verse number 20, the soul is spiritual now. It's not physical. This is spiritual. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that is the death that the Apostle John spoke of. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, when he said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death, just as physical death separates us from this physical world. This second death is an eternal separation from God. It is an eternal separation from God in a terrible place called hell. But the message of the gospel is not only a burden to those who hear it. It is also a burden to the messengers. It's a burden to the messengers. When the prophet Isaiah pronounced the judgments of the Lord God against certain places. And for example, you can look at Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1, chapter 17, verse 1, chapter 19, verse 1, and other places as well. When he spoke of the promised judgments of God against those places, he referred to the pronouncement of judgment as a burden. It was a burden because it was not a message that he enjoyed delivering. It was not a message that he enjoyed telling, but it was a message that the Lord God had commanded him to give. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, it is a burden for us as well, and for the very same reason. It's a burden for us as well. You see, the message of the gospel, sharing that with unsaved people, really, it's not fun. It is a burden. It's a burden when you have to tell people that even though they are good and they're kind and they're decent, yet the reality is that they are lost and they're without hope and without God. And it's a burden to have to tell them that unless they repent of their sinful ways and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to spend all of eternity in that place described by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41, a place of everlasting fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. But not only is the message of the gospel a burden for us, because frankly, it's a message that is very difficult to deliver, but also it's a burden for us because it is our duty. It is our responsibility. It is a burden that was given to every one of us when the Lord Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the burden. That's the burden of the gospel. But when we recognize this point, when we recognize the fact that it is a burden, then we are able to more completely, we're able to more fully appreciate number two, the blessing of the gospel. The message of the gospel is a blessing because of the good news that it gives. The message of the gospel is a blessing because of the good news that it gives, first of all, to the hearers, after declaring the depravity of the hearer, after declaring the wickedness and the sinfulness of the hearer, and the dire consequences that they will certainly face if they depart from this life without Jesus Christ as their Savior. The gospel then gives them some good news. It gives some wonderful news. First of all, it tells of God's love. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse number 16, probably every one of you are familiar with it, God so loved the world. And because of his love for all of humanity, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you come from, regardless of the color of your skin, the language you speak, the ethnicity of your background makes absolutely no difference. It makes no difference how religious you are or how unreligious you are. The simple fact is God loves you. He loves you. And we also find not only the wonderful news that tells us of his love, but we also find some wonderful news that tells us of his desire. God's desire, notice it in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, it is God's will, it is God's desire that every man, regardless again of who they are, where they come from, makes no difference. God's desire for every man is that they might be saved. And because his loving desire is that all men might be saved, I want you to notice the gospel also declares God's provision. It declares God's provision. Now please understand this morning, this is a very important point. Please understand this morning, God's love for you and God's desire for you to be saved from your sin can never cancel out the demands of his absolute holiness. You see, God's holiness will never allow him to simply overlook sin. His holiness will never allow him to pretend that our sin never happened. And therefore God, because of his love and because of his desire, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He sent him into the world. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "And ye know that he," talking about Jesus Christ, "he was manifested." Why? "To take away our sins." That's why John the Baptist, when he introduced the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verse 29, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." At the cross of Calvary, there were two things that happened. Two things that happened there at the cross of Calvary. Number one, our sins were placed on Jesus Christ. Our sins were placed on him. Of course, this was foretold by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53 verse 6 when he said there would come a day that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the fulfillment of that promise was declared. It was declared when the apostle Peter said concerning the Lord Jesus in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, our sins were placed on him. But not only that, he then died in our place. He died in our place. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, God commendeth. He showed, he proved, he demonstrated his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And 1 John chapter 4 verse 10 says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, it's a big word, but it has a very simple meaning. The big word simply means he paid in full the penalty for our sin. He paid it in full when he died on the cross of Calvary in our place. The gospel of the message, or the message of the gospel, it is a wonderful blessing because it tells of God's love. It tells of God's desire. It tells of God's provision. And then number four, it tells of God's invitation. It tells of God's invitation. Listen to it. The very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse number 17, the Bible says the Spirit and the Bride. That's the church. That's the church. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth, that's every individual believer, says, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life. Notice it. Freely. Freely? Yes, freely. Because Jesus paid it all. That's the good news. That's the good news to the hearers. But there's also good news for the messengers. Certainly the blessing of the gospel that every believer in Jesus Christ has received is the gift of eternal life. But there is more. There is more for us than just hope for the future. There is more for us than just a sweet by and by in heaven. There is actually a wonderful privilege that is ours right now. A wonderful privilege that is ours. Notice it in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Do you see the wonderful privilege that is ours right now? As believers in Jesus Christ, we have the wonderful privilege to stand as his representatives. We have the wonderful privilege to stand as his ambassadors in this present world. And I want you to notice the Apostle Paul declares here that we are called to stand in his place. We stand in his place. In other words, we stand between sinful men and a holy God, and we seek to reconcile them together by bringing the sinner to faith in Jesus Christ. I praise God for our assurance that heaven is our eternal home. But the question I would ask you is simply this. How many are you going to take with you to heaven? How many people are you going to be allowed to present before your Heavenly Father? How many will you be able to say, these are some that it was my privilege to bring to faith in Jesus Christ? Charles Luther, he lived from 1847 to 1924. He certainly had this thought in mind when he penned the words, must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him? must I empty-handed go? The burden of the gospel, the blessing of the gospel. But the important question I want each of us to personally consider is this. How am I responding? How am I personally responding to the gospel? If you're not saved, if you're not saved this morning and you feel the burden, you feel the weight, you feel the guilt of your sin, you need to respond by acknowledging your need, acknowledging that you are a sinner, acknowledging that you cannot save yourself, and then placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for the salvation of your soul. I pray that you will make that most important decision even today and receive the blessing of salvation that the Heavenly Father freely, graciously offers to everyone through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you feel a burden? Do you feel a compassion for the lost souls who are all around us? When you see the multitudes that are lost without hope and without God, does it cause you to consider the responsibility? Does it cause you to consider the blessing that God has given to us to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ? My prayer this morning is that every one of us here at Heritage Baptist Church and everyone listening to this video recording, that every one of us will dedicate ourselves afresh and anew, to dedicate ourselves completely to the task of representing our Savior well, representing Him faithfully. And my prayer is that none of us will forget the words of the wise man when he declared in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Oh, may God help us to be wise today. May God help us to be wise as we consider the burden and we consider the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ.